The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Rushing four, ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground and still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
Alabama back on top of the college football world.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to their football to the max. I am your host of the Shindig, Sean Garmer, and this is the college football week 9 preview. There was some games that happened on Thursday, the most named one that people know is the Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh game. I did not watch any of these games, but perhaps my two co-hosts, yes, I said two because Randy has returned, and of course Gary is here as well. Maybe they watched it, but Randy, it has been a while. How are you doing?
It has been a while, and unfortunately I did not watch the Thursday games as well, so I already came back just failing. It's wonderful.
you don't blame yourself. I'm failing as well. You know, things are busy around here, and so I wasn't able to watch everything I needed to.
Somehow I watched that failure of an NFL game instead.
Yeah, see, I saw more of that than in anything else. So,
I will say this. At least, you know, the last time we ranked Virginia Tech, they went out and got whooped the next game. So at least they didn't do that. They won, so they justified their ranking this time. James Conner went off for Pittsburgh. He got 3 touchdowns and 141 yards. And Gerard Evans, the quarterback for the Virginia Tech, went over 400 yards and 2 touchdowns. So looks like he had a good day. Virginia Tech wins by 3. Pittsburgh's been a feisty team all year, so that was going to be a rough game. And then Toledo, who went and beat Central Michigan last week, they already lost, so they're down to 6-2. And USC keeps winning. They kind of been on this streak of winning for a while after they lost quite a bit at the beginning. They beat California 45-24, so maybe USC has that. They're going to start playing spoiler for people.
Yeah, you never know. That could be the case. And, you know, it's kind of funny the way things work in college football because there's so many times where you say someone's dead in the water and they turn around and surprise you. And I'm not saying that USC is all of a sudden great or anything, but it is kind of cool to see that there is some life in those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what we said about the Pac-12 all year was they were just going to beat up on each other and mess up chances to make the playoffs, and USC now looks like one of those teams that could do just that for somebody.
Yeah, certainly. Another team we'll talk about in a little bit also has that opportunity because they started out kind of losing, and they are now on winning ways. But speaking of winning, Navy was the first team to beat Houston and kind of sent them on a little slide that wound up in SMU beating Houston. Which, man, that is still embarrassing. And then you get South Florida, who lost last week. So this matchup still means a lot because that would mean that they're kind of back to square one where they would both be tied in the American. And so this is a big game here in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. Navy and South Florida on Friday or today or whenever you're listening to this. Maybe already happened by the time you're listening to this, but Navy ranked, obviously. How do you see this going down? South Florida's been a tough team.
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is, you know, it's neither team really has shown that they have much of a defense. Yes, Navy beats Houston a few weeks ago in a crazy shootout. I see this being a shootout as well. South Florida averaging just under 500 yards per game. I do like South Florida here at home to knock Navy out of the ranked position. Give me South Florida here.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting because of what Navy's done this year. I don't know. I know I even ranked South Florida in our power rankings for a reason, and it's because I really do believe in them, and I do believe that they have that opportunity. So I'm going to agree with Randy on this one. I think Navy's going to be disappointed, and I think South Florida wins.
I'm going to go, I guess I'll be the only one that goes with Navy here, and say that they continue to be the top of that American and earn their spot. And, you know, keep it going for the for those military academies that have been doing decently well this year. So that continues. And so we move along to said Houston team that is playing UCF at noon in Houston. They should win this game. They should be angry. They should be coming out here to stomp UCF, but you just never know with this Houston team. It seems that there is rumors abounding that some more of them that you know, the Houston coach is already set to go to Texas. But I mean, you keep losing, you have to wonder if that doesn't get a set in stone every time you lose.
Yeah, a more likelihood that, you know, he wants to just go ahead and make that deal now before things fall apart a bit more. Both of Houston's games, or their losses, excuse me, both happen on the road. They're home here. I think they're just going to show the world that, yes, they are still pretty good. Their playoff hopes are completely dashed at this point. But, you know, you can't blame the Houston coach. The Big 12 didn't want his team, so I guess he'll just go.
Yeah, exactly. So sad. That still bums me out. You know, I really feel like the Big 12 expanding would have done some good, but... oh, well, you know, Houston in this game, they should, you know, make the rebound. But, you know, they have not impressed at all lately. I've just watched this team go from really, really high to really, really low. And I'm sorry, but it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't stay low. But I'm going to go ahead and say they'll win.
I mean, Randy, you weren't here for us to talk about this. How do you feel about the whole Big 12 deciding to go with the TV money and not expand?
Wait. Colleges decided to go for money instead of things that make sense?
They would have gotten more money had they not gone with what ESPN and Fox said. And because then each school would have gotten more money because they would have gotten bigger deals for the expansion. But ESPN didn't want to have to do that, so...
It's just a weird situation. The whole NCAA to me is a weird situation. The way the playoffs are set up, the way the conferences are set up, how much change we've had in said conferences over the last few years. I wish they would just buckle down and format these things better. I know a lot of people like the tradition of some of these conferences, but at this point, things have changed so much for me that it just needs a wash. It needs to be realigned. It needs to be, you know, we shouldn't have half of the FBS basically eligible to make the bowl systems. I mean, we've already delegated most of the colleges out of a chance to even make the bowl games, which there's way too many of them to begin with. We need to then take these 120 teams or whatever it is to right now and set them up logistically in their little quadrants or whatever and just stick with it. You don't need Boise State talking to teams about possibly going to the Big East like we did a few years ago. Just put them in the Pac-12 or the Pac, whatever you want to call it. Put Houston with all of the Texas teams and just set it up that way and hit the reset button. But it's never going to happen because teams don't want to give up their spot. They don't want to have to deal with all of this extra stuff and lose TV money and have to split it with more teams. And it's just a big giant mess. And it's because it's not, you know, it's not policed by one governing body. It's the Pac, like the Pac-12 has its own rules. The Big 12 has its own. It's like everyone else is doing their own thing. It's just, we need one governing body in the NCAA, and they need to be focused on the kids and the students and competition and not money.
Yep. Sounds great, but not going to happen. And that's
exactly.
Sad.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's sad that, like, look, as corrupt as FIFA was, or still is, you know, whatever you want to, the new governing body is trying not to be. It makes sense. Everything makes sense. You don't, I mean, yes, the other governing bodies have rules too, but they come together for the World Cup, and guess who makes the rules? FIFA. They set how many teams go to the World Cup, and they set how you get there and all that stuff. Not the NCAA, where you let the Power Five decide that there's going to be four playoff teams and not anymore, because if they ever become more than four, the NCAA then takes control, and oh my God, they don't want that. So it's just like, good Lord, you could have thought about what was better for your game. Yeah, there's money that's involved in that, and don't tell me that having more teams wasn't going to mean more money, because it was. But Power 5 just didn't want other non-Power 5 teams in there, so they said, nope. We're taking control of this, and you're either going to deal with it, or we just, they probably go strike out on their own. So, you know, it's like the NCAA has to bend to their will instead of the other way around. It makes no sense. But anyway, getting back to the games here. Louisville, who has been rolling ever since they lost to Clemson. I mean, yeah, they had the tough game against Duke, but they absolutely obliterated NC State last week. Virginia has been bad this year. As you would expect, they have some games where they've been okay, but even with Virginia being at home here, Louisville rolls, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have Louisville. I just have to say it just for sake, you know, just the way it is. Lamar Jackson, 34 touchdowns in 7 games. He has 34 touchdowns. I say he gets to 40 after this game.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, and it would not surprise me as well, you know, so, but yeah, Louisville definitely takes care of business.
I don't know how freaking Lamar Jackson better be one of the final three. He will for the Heisman. Just, he's putting up, like, ridiculous numbers. It's crazy. One of these, this is a huge Big 12 game, because again, West Virginia is getting into this part of the schedule where they're starting to, I mean, they played some tough teams in non-conference, but they're starting to play their tougher teams in the actual Big 12. Of course, they're the 10th ranked team in the nation going into Stillwater, which is not one of the easiest places to play. Oklahoma will certainly put up points. West Virginia has the defense to contain them a bit. What do you think here?
You know, looking at this, I think West Virginia was the one I was looking at.
Yeah, this is a very interesting matchup for me, just because we're halfway through the season, and I'm still completely just unsure about West Virginia. Yes, they're undefeated. Yes, they're a top 10 ranked team. But this is only the second true road game for West Virginia the whole year. So let's kind of see what they do in that situation. But they have played some tough competition. a stat I found very interesting. They have 5 wins against an FPI top 50 team this season. The only other team that can say they've done that is Alabama. So they've played competition. It's just not quite on the road. Oklahoma State plays ranked teams very well. So it's going to be very interesting. I have it low in my confidence rankings, but I say West Virginia gets the win here.
I have it right at the 5. I just think West Virginia's defense is going to be able to shut down Mason Rudolph, and you're not going to see Oklahoma score the 45, the 50 points, the, I don't know if they even get to the 35. So, and West Virginia can put up points too if they need to. So that's the thing, they're versatile, but they do rely on kind of shutting you down, and they did it to Texas Tech, who we saw put up ridiculous numbers last week. So.
Yeah, and good God, West Virginia, put Oklahoma State out of their misery, please. So, sorry, I just
Gary
I had to throw
is still
that out
mad
there.
That Oklahoma State keeps making it into the top 25.
I'm just it makes me sick. Anyway, go ahead.
This is from the Texas fan. You'd think that Gary is an Oklahoma fan or something.
Well, from a Big 12 perspective, I should be thrilled. But I look at the teams that are not being chosen, and that team keeps getting chosen. I'm like, guys, I am a supporter of this team, and I know they're bad. Please understand they're bad.
Well, I was still putting my hat in the race for Washington State should have been in that spot. But that was just me. Speaking of, Washington State takes on Oregon State to continue to ride this wave of winning ways. I think they do it. Oregon State has been okay. They've played teams tough, but, you know, they're not the Oregon State of old where you wonder if they're going to be pulling upsets. I got Washington State in this one.
Yeah, listen, Cougar fans, if you're listening, you can still thank me for turning your season around. You know, they started out the season losing to Eastern Washington and then a close matchup against Boise State. They were in a close matchup against Idaho into the second quarter. When I finally showed up to that game, they turned it around. They blew out Idaho and haven't looked back since. So send all of your well wishes to me. or send them to Luke Falk because, you know, 72.7 completion percentage that leads the entire nation. And that is the reason why they've done so well. They have no running game up here in Pullman, but they find ways to get things done. Oregon State's played 2 straight ranked teams. This should be a third. Sean, if I was doing rankings last week, I would have ranked the Cougars as well. Give me Washington State.
Yeah, I got Washington State as well. I'm a big supporter of their head coach, and I think that, you know, he's a smart guy, and finally they're getting some respect.
Well, let's go to the other Oregon here. Arizona State taking on the Oregon Ducks, who... Man, what a turn of events for Oregon. My God. I mean, I don't know that we thought they... I don't think anybody thought they were going to be this bad.
And we knew they were going to take a step back because their defense was going to struggle, but the offense has just not been able to get things going. Listen, Oregon's lost 5 straight games, and they've given up 35 or more points in all 5 games. Now they're having issues where they believe their opponents are stealing their signs. Well, don't hold up signs then, and people won't steal them. I do worry about Oregon here as Arizona State, who I still thought should have won the national championship last year, but they disappointed me greatly. They still do have a great rush defense. They're allowing less than 100 yards a game, and that's where Oregon really excels. They go about 250 a game. But Arizona State really struggles on the road against Pac-12 opponents. I think Oregon finally gets that win and will beat the Sun Devils here.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Sun Devils. And, you know, I don't have a lot to base on it because I really feel like Oregon, this is about the time of the year where they find ways to win games. But I'm still going to go with the Sun Devils. I think they've kind of shown me that they can sneak out a victory.
You know what's interesting about a lot of these top-ranked matchups that we have this week is that last year those teams beat these ranked teams. So could we see it happen again? With Michigan State, I certainly don't. They are nothing like the team that they were last year. Yes, that game was very lucky ending and everything, but Michigan is much different this year. Michigan State is much different this year. I think Michigan beats them and beats them by a lot.
Oh, yeah, me too. I have them as my 9. The point spread's 25, which I think a little high as far as that, but they might just surpass that as well. So I have Michigan here.
Yeah, I mean, I think so as well. Michigan is just going to trounce them. I mean, I know, yes, the rivalry. It's not going to be close.
The number 4 ranked Washington taking on Utah in Salt Lake. Now, when Utah plays in Salt Lake, they're a different team. They still don't have defense, though, and I don't think they know how to deal with Washington's offense is much different than the offense Utah's had to face so far, and I don't know if they have an answer for what Jake Browning and the rest of these guys are going to do, even if Utah has a running back go for another 300 yards. I don't see it happening. I think Washington winds up winning.
Actually, I have to disagree with you about the defense of Utah. I think they're quite underrated. They're actually a turnover machine. They have 22 turnovers created, which is most in the FBS. They have 14 interceptions, which is tied for the most. And they have 22 sacks this year, which is second in the Pac-12. I think it's a bit of an underrated defense just when you look at kind of some of the scores that they have given up. The thing for me here is Washington, where, you know, they spread the ball around so much. And they make such great decisions in the quarterback play. You know, 10 different receivers having a touchdown already this year. I do think that's going to cause them a bit of havoc. Yes, Joe Williams returning to Utah after retiring for about a month and has looked amazing since his return will make this close. And it being in Utah makes it close. So I don't have the biggest confidence. I have it as a 2 here, but I do think the Huskies pull it out. But Utah is really sneaky in this game.
Yeah, and this is a upset, you know, looking and lurking to happen. But it's so hard for me to go against Washington. They've played so well this year, and they've done a lot of great things. And, you know, you got to give respect to Utah, but I'm still picking the Washington.
Nebraska going in and taking on Wisconsin at number 7 against the number 11 matchup. I think this is where the train stops for Nebraska in their undefeated season. Wisconsin's defense is going to take down Nebraska. They're finally going to get lucky in one of these ranked games here, and they're actually going to win one. Wisconsin at home, give me them.
Yeah, I'm with you as well, Sean, on that. I think that, you know, we're going to see a good matchup here. But I think at the end of the day, Wisconsin is going to kind of step ahead, and that defense is going to kind of really get on the Nebraska offense. I look at Wisconsin as a better, well-rounded team.
Yeah, Nebraska is a great story, starting the season 7-0 for the first time in, 15, 20 years. But only faced their one ranked team in Oregon, who we've already talked about being complete disappointments this year. Wisconsin's had a brutal schedule, kept it close against both Michigan and Ohio State, just falling short by a touchdown. Wisconsin's won the last 3 matchups. I think everything here points to Wisconsin getting the big win, especially since Nebraska has to play Ohio State after this. So nothing looks easy for the Cornhuskers, but it's been a great start for them, but I have Wisconsin as well.
Baylor travels to Austin. They don't have to go very far. Travels to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns, who, well, at least they'll keep up with them in points, you think. But I don't, even being in Austin, I think Baylor takes this one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. I think that the Longhorns have struggled so much, and I don't think things are getting much better. Baylor is so dominant. They've came in. They know how to score points. Their defense, sure, it can give up some points, but I think still they're a scrappy bunch. And I just don't see Texas defeating a team that I really feel like is going to beat Oklahoma. Basically anybody they face in the Big 12 is what I'm trying to say. And this is not going to be the team to slow them down.
Texas owns this rivalry, but Baylor is turning it around, winning 4 of the last 6. I think their offense is too much for Texas, who has lost 4 of their last 5. Give me Baylor, but Remember when Texas beat Notre Dame and everyone was like, oh my God, Texas is a top 10 team. They're back. No, no, they're not back yet.
I know. It's sad to me, but yes, I agree. I fell into it. I wanted it to happen so bad.
Oh, maybe this will be another one of those where Texas beats Baylor and everybody's like, oh my God.
No, I hope that, because I don't want false, you know. Yeah.
I just don't think there's anything that's going to happen that's going to keep Charlie Strong there unless they just don't find a better coach for some reason. But let's get into this big ACC game where Clemson travels to Tallahassee to take on the Florida State Seminoles. Florida State, basically, their only shot at possibly doing anything when it comes to this conference. They have to win this game. Clemson, obviously, trying to stay in the playoff race here. They also have to win this game. Who you got?
Go ahead, Gary.
I'm sorry. I was hoping Randy was going to go first because I didn't hear all that. What was the matchup?
Clemson and Florida State.
Clemson. Florida State, yeah. They've kind of started to make a little bit of a resurgence, but I just think that Clemson's just – their momentum is too strong.
Yeah, both teams coming off a bye. Clemson, you know, surviving that overtime game against North Carolina State have kind of been – brooding over that for the past 2 weeks. It's interesting to see that their main common opponent is Louisville, who Clemson had that epic game against where it came down to 1 yard, while Florida State completely just destroyed in that game. A key stat here is how Florida State is just unable to turn drives into touchdowns. They actually have the lowest third and out percentage of any Power 5 conference, but rank 54th in that same category for those drives finishing in a touchdown. So look for a lot of field goals there, and you can't kick field goals against Clemson and stay in it. I think Clemson pulls ahead early and holds on for the victory.
Yeah, I think holding on is a very good key. I think this is going to be a close game. It's in Tallahassee. I think Florida State knows what the stakes are here, and they have been on a bit of a resurgence. And you know, it's not like Clemson's been playing perfect ball the whole time, as you mentioned, Randy, so they could be ripe for that upset. So I'd say be careful. I don't know that this is one of those totally in the bag, but I'll take Clemson. But and it's not, I might have this as my one. I'm not very confident about this at all
because I'm not each other tough. Yeah, I'm definitely not confident. It's my three, but it's just Florida State and their inability to finish drives kind of has me scared here.
Speaking of another team that's wanting to live on the wild side, I don't know how many times you're going to be able to do that if you're Boise State, and Wyoming is a team that beat them last year. I'm still going to take Boise State away, but I would not be surprised if we get into one of these. We go up big and then we got to be fighting for our lives at the end, or where it's one of these close things, because Wyoming's been sneaky good this year.
Actually, Wyoming did not beat them last year.
I thought they did. Apologize.
No, I was going to say, you made me recheck my stat. I found a stat where Boise State's actually 10-0 all time against Wyoming. So they lost to New Mexico. It might be who you're thinking of last year, but Boise State does own this rivalry. Wyoming can't stop giving up more than 20 points a game. I like Jeremy McNichols in this matchup. He has 12 rushing touchdowns. I think he adds to that and tops the 1,000-yard mark on the year. I like Boise State by a lot in this game.
Yeah, I'm a Boise State on this one because of the fact that I think they've proven that they, you know, handle adversity pretty well. And so I feel like they're going to take this one.
We move on to another team that's been resurging here, Auburn, after losing two early games. They decimated Arkansas, and now they go on to, I don't know if you call them a sad state for Ole Miss after having so many close games, and they just keep getting their heart broken every single time. I think Auburn's going to be another one that's just going to deliver that just crushing blow.
Yeah, I'm there too. It's my one at the moment, and I might move it up as I've looked at some of these other games, and I feel a little bit more confident about Auburn. As you said, Ole Miss has had just a brutal schedule. They're 1-4 against ranked opponents this year, but the fact that this is their sixth game already against a ranked opponent is just crazy. Auburn just runs all over teams, and Ole Miss has had some trouble stopping the run. That's why I think Auburn on the road in an SEC game, which is tough to do, I think they get the win here.
It's so hard because of the fact that I think Auburn's a good team, and they proved last week that, you know, they are to be reckoned with, and I think I'm going to go Auburn here.
Florida taking on Georgia in Georgia.
Yeah, I think Florida wins here. I think Florida is definitely, you know, once again, you know, starting to catch some momentum here. Georgia is Georgia, and, you know, we saw them earlier this year, how they kind of floundered. And, you know, I don't think they've got any better. So I'm going to go with Florida here.
You know, I had some stats, but I don't know if I could do better than Georgia is Georgia. It's just wonderful. Well, I love it. It's so great. No, Gary, that's why I had to cut back. I love that. It's wonderful. No, listen, I have Florida here as well. Luke Del Rio returned 2 weeks ago against Missouri, struggled a bit, but it was nice to see him back on the field. Both teams come off a bye week, which is actually only the fifth time in the 94-game history of this rivalry that both teams had a bye coming in. Georgia just doesn't have the offense to keep up with Florida. Florida's defense is just too good. Give me the Gators.
Another team in Florida, Miami, who has taken a fall from grace after losing consecutive games, taking on a Notre Dame team that keeps losing in South Bend. This is a tricky one.
Well, I'll just do it this way. Who would you rather pick in this game? The team that has lost three straight after winning their first four, or the other one who only has two wins on the entire season, and they're against Nevada and Syracuse?
I am picking any team that is, yeah. I'm picking any team that is not Notre Dame, I'll say that. Notre Dame is not going to win. I'm sorry. They're just not up to it.
If you could have ties still in college football, this is the equivalent of the Arizona-Seattle game from Sunday night. Just brutal. I'm taking Miami.
I'm taking Miami, too. Don't remind me of that game. But, yeah, I'll take Miami, but, man, geez. I'm not
looking forward to it. Don't get me started. I'm glad I wasn't on that podcast for that game.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
At least we go from a game that, you know, you don't want to pick one to a game where you just get to see a bunch of points go on the board. Texas Tech taking on TCU at Amon Carter. Ooh. Shootout.
First one to 50 wins. Give me the home team. Give me TCU.
Yeah, give me TCU, too.
Yeah, TCU.
An angry Ohio State taking on Northwestern, who's actually been pretty decent this year.
Yeah, Northwestern in three straight weeks, beating Iowa and Michigan State on the road, as well as Indiana. But they are facing Ohio State at the worst possible time after their big loss to Penn State, which, listen, does not knock them out of the playoffs. They still have the Michigan game later on. They're, what, ranked sixth. So look for them to make a statement here against a very competitive Northwestern team, but I like Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Oklahoma is going to roll through Kansas.
You're not worried that Kansas beat Rhode Island in the opener and then have lost their sixth straight, and you're not, that doesn't scare you at all?
No.
Okay, me neither. Oh, man.
I was starting to worry. It's like, uh-oh.
Texas A&M is also going to roll New Mexico State.
Hey, New Mexico State lost to Idaho by 32 points. That's all you have to say.
Penn State taking on a Purdue team that's actually been kind of feisty.
Ooh. Who's this again?
Penn State.
They got ranked this week. I'll go Penn State.
Yeah, AP ranked them, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you going with, Sean?
I'll go with Penn State.
See, this is where I have to just be that guy. Yes, Penn State has the big dramatic win against Ohio State. You know, but this is the letdown game. Purdue is good. You know, they kept it close on the road against Nebraska. They even led it at the half. I'm taking Purdue.
How much did Drew Brees pay you?
Drew Brees paid you.
He won the fantasy matchup for my girlfriend last week, and I told him, if you do that, then I will pick Purdue. So
okay,
that was the price.
Okay, well, there you go. Fair enough.
Well, Gary, you know, our alma mater there in North Texas, taking on that Texas San Antonio.
Texas San Antonio is going to make them look awful. So, yeah, no. Texas San Antonio is definitely a team that even good teams struggle with. So,
I want to remind you, the last time we picked against North Texas, they won.
So. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't have a. I had more confidence in them actually having a shot this time.
I was just saying that so we can keep the juju going, and let's both pick against them again, Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you guys can have all the bad juju and good juju or whatever you want going. I'm taking North Texas in this game, only for the fact that Texas San Antonio lost to UTEP last week in a 5-overtime game.
Jeez.
Wow.
So give me North Texas. And by the way, I had no clue about that until you guys put this on the list for games to look up. I can't find highlights for this game. I saw that they were in a 5-overtime game. I was like, I have to check this out. I can't find shit anywhere for that game. Like, ESPN went a thrilling 5-overtime game. It was a 4-sentence blurb. Like, that was their review of the game. Like, can I see something from it? I mean, at least in black and white. Please.
And Tennessee, who, you know, they've had to come down after being ranked so high early in the season, taking on a South Carolina team that won last week, and they hope to do that again at home here.
Now, listen, Tennessee going 2-2 in their last four games, all against ranked opponents. Then they hit their bye week. Now they get a second bye week. I think they just roll on South Carolina.
Yeah, Tennessee is due.
I agree. Tennessee is due. That sounds like a good reason to pick Tennessee here. I think that is going to do it for all of our games that we're going to talk about here. Anything you want to say here, Randy, before we get out?
I hope everyone enjoys their college football. I will definitely be checking out a bit of it, but I am definitely swept in the World Series madness to figure out who exactly will have the longest drought after this series as the Indians and Cubs are battling it out. So I will be definitely checking out a lot of football, but nothing compares to the World Series to me right now.
God, I hope the Cubs win because Patrick is going to be a miserable person.
Oh.
Patrick's going to be one miserable person if they don't win. I don't blame him at all for that. I'm just saying I can already imagine the kind of, like, he was freaking out about, oh, I'm not going to do a show because they might go to game 7 or something. I can't imagine what it's like for a World Series that to happen, so. But, yeah, so that's going to do it for us on this edition of the College Football to the Max. We'll be back, of course, on Tuesday morning to run through it all and give our thoughts. And until then, enjoy those Saturday games, and we will see you later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.